Welcome to Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. In this episode, Utah Foundation's president, Sean Tigan, research director, Christopher Collard, and research analyst, Ashley Marshall Cantor, discuss the top findings of 2024. Most of these findings relate to the Utah Priorities Project, which is a series of surveys targeting voters, candidates, and party delegates in order to understand what issues are most important to Utah voters and help voters understand which candidates are best aligned with their individual preferences.
The board of trustees of the Utah Foundation had a meeting, got together, and talked about which issue they thought was most important that the Utah Foundation found during 2024. And they ranked these issues from 1 to 10.
Yeah, and what's cool about the board is that at the beginning of the year, they help us set our research agenda. And then at the end of the year, after we've done all this research, then they vote on the top findings.
I love that. We love our board. We couldn't do what we do without our board of trustees.
And Sean, we'll start us off with finding number 10.
Yeah, so finding 10, this came from the Utah Priorities Project, as you mentioned that most of these did, Christopher. We asked voters about whether they felt the state was on the wrong track or headed in the right direction. 3 in 5 voters said that they think Utah is on the wrong track. And the crazy thing about that is that that is by far the largest share of voters since we started administering this survey 20 years ago. So never before have so many voters felt that the state was on the wrong track. In addition, we asked voters about kind of themselves and whether they consider themselves better or worse off than the previous 5 years, than 5 years previous. We're also at the highest point where most voters, 3 in 5 voters, say that they're worse off than 5 years ago. The thing that is shocking about this is that during the Great Recession, when we asked voters if they're worse off, there was a lower proportion at that point. During the pandemic, the global pandemic, fewer people felt they were worse off than felt they were worse off in 2024 compared to the 5 years previous. So it's a crazy thing. People are pretty grumpy about where we are. And I was actually surprised that I figured that this issue would be maybe among the top three. The board wasn't impressed. They were like, yeah, okay. We all feel maybe this is kind of crummy and we're going to put this down at the bottom of the list.
I think that just means just wait. All of our other key findings are even better than this one.
Oh, very good. Very good, Christopher.
One other interesting note. This was the first time for both of these metrics, the negative opinion, either that Utah was on the wrong track or that the individuals are worse off 10 years ago, that it crossed the 50% mark. In every previous edition, only a minority of people have felt this way. This was the first time we saw a majority of voters feel they were worse off than 5 years ago or that the state was headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah, what's going on? What's going on with that? And maybe we'll get into that with some of these other findings.
Some of these other key findings will probably tell us a little bit.
Yep.
Okay, next up is key finding number 9. And we found that Utah has a layered partisan landscape. In 2020, 61% of voters voted Republican in national and statewide elections. However, only 53% of voters are registered Republicans, and only 36% of voters self-identify with the Republican Party. If you look at people who do not affiliate with a party, unaffiliated voters, sometimes called independent voters, they make up 43% of people who identify an independent or an unaffiliated voter. But only 27% of Utahns are registered as an unaffiliated voter. And only like 1% of unaffiliated or independent candidates end up with the vote. Sometimes people talk about how Utah is a Republican state. But how Republican Utah is kind of depends on what layer you're looking at. Just on the outside layer, if you're looking at just who wins, it certainly is Republican. 61% of votes going toward a Republican candidate in statewide elections. But if you look at how Utahns identify, a larger share of Utahns identify as unaffiliated or independent voters.
And so, Christopher, with respect to votes that we looked at, that was from 2020, the registered voters, where do we get those data?
So the registered voter just comes from the registered voter database. The lieutenant governor publishes that data on their website and updates it pretty frequently.
And when you're talking about self-identified voters, where does that come from?
That data comes from our survey. That data comes from voters where voters self-identified which party they feel they most belong to.
I think that is interesting that you've got a plurality. You've got more than two in five voters self-identify as unaffiliated, which is more than the number of people that self-identify as Republican. And then, of course, the Democrats, it's the smallest share. It's 1 out of 5. But yeah, interesting stuff. Thanks, Christopher.
What is finding number 8?
Finding number 8 is about government. And we found that 3 in 5 voters consider the government to be wasteful and inefficient. But on the opposite kind of side of that coin is that 3 in 5 voters really think that it is the government's job to protect people from themselves. So,
At least sometimes.
Yeah, maybe not all the time. But in some ways, the government needs to be there to protect people from themselves. So they're perhaps a little bit wasteful, but they're necessary at the same time.
Kind of Utah voters seem to have a little bit of a nuanced view on the role of government.
Yeah.
Also, finding number 7 from Sean Tigan.
Oh, yeah. So finding 7, this came from not from the Priorities Project, but from one of our housing reports during the year. We released a lot of reports on housing and housing affordability and whatnot. But finding 7 actually ties into a series of report of ours from a couple of years ago that actually found its way into state code and some of the language related to something called missing middle housing. And so this finding 7, it's effectively that encouraging construction density can improve homeowner affordability as height limits are increased and smaller lots are embraced in neighborhoods otherwise characterized by single-family homes. That's just saying that we've got these single-family home neighborhoods. Maybe we could use a little bit of density, and which is a terrible word for a lot of people. They don't like to hear that word. But maybe we could see some smaller homes, some taller homes, in order to find perhaps a little bit of affordability in neighborhoods that we normally wouldn't.
And just to be clear, one of the key tenets of missing middle housing is trying to make sure that this higher density housing or taller housing fits in with the characteristics of the neighborhood, so it doesn't look obviously different from the rest of the neighborhood.
Yeah, you drive down the street and you're not like, what the heck is this gigantic apartment complex doing on the street? You drive down the street and don't really even notice it because things are kind of the same form, kind of the same scale. So that triplex, you may not even notice that it's a triplex. You may just think it's a larger single family home.
All right, next up we have finding 6, which was over 70% of voters agreed that Utah's politicians are too beholden to business, religious, or other special interests and ignore the will of the people. When analyzing this set of data by demographic subgroups, Democrats, unaffiliated voters, and those who are less religious really stood out. And this finding really comes into play with our Utah Priorities Project. One of the top issues for Utah voters was that politicians aren't listening to voters. This survey question specifically identifies that Utah voters consider business interests, religious interests, and other special interests to kind of be more influential than politicians listening to their own voice.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing I think about this is that you brought up, Christopher, that it's, you know, Democrats, unaffiliated voters, less religious people. But even the more religious people, even the Republicans, you know, it's Utahns at large. All of them are more likely than not to say that politicians aren't listening to them.
And it is interesting. We kind of missed a chance to see this in the voting box with regards to Amendment D, where politicians were giving themselves the ability to overwrite voter initiatives. So we had a chance to see in the polling box if this really plays out. But because that amendment was voided because of several legal issues, we kind of missed that chance.
But, you know, it may come back around, so stay tuned for a year or two.
And it is interesting to see where voters agree, especially across the different demographic groups. And that actually brings us to finding 5, and that's that half of the project's survey respondents think that the policies of the Republican Party threaten the nation's well-being, and half of voters believe that the Democratic Party threaten it. 1 in 6 Utah voters think both parties do. Nonetheless, Utahns believe that there is a way forward. 3/4 of Utah voters agree that compromise is how things get done in politics, though conservatives are less likely to agree. But I do think that this is a really cool spot where we all feel like we're not being heard. And so maybe we think that some of the other parties aren't listening to us.
And this is a question we've been asking for, well, since 2016. And we have noticed a little bit of a trend from 2016 to 2024. That's been three iterations of the survey. And we have seen a larger share of Utahns say that the Republican Party's policies are so misguided that they threaten the nation's well-being. And the share of people who don't think that either party is misguided has shrunk from 1 in 4 to 1 in 6.
Yeah, so the concern about partisanship is certainly something that is really stuck in respondents' minds in this iteration of the Priorities Project.
And partisan politics was also one of the top issues in this year's voter survey. That brings us to finding 4, which is about taxes. This came from our tax burden report. And in this report, we highlighted that Utah's property tax burden in 2021, which was the latest data available at the time, was $22.76 for every $1,000 of personal income. That means for every $1,000 of income we receive in our paycheck, essentially, we pay $22.76 to a local government in property taxes. But the key finding was that is the lowest property tax burden for the past 100 years.
Yeah, so Christopher, if you spend any time going through the comments on the Salt Lake Tribune or the Deseret News or KSL or wherever, why is it that we're seeing so many people, and even the legislators, they talk about property taxes, we have to lower property taxes, they're too high. I mean, it's the lowest it's been as a proportion of our personal income in 100 years. Why are people still talking so much about property taxes?
Property taxes is kind of interesting in that it's kind of an annual lump sum payment, and especially for people who don't have that as part of the escrow through their mortgage. It's going to feel like a huge lump sum payment that comes around every year, and that can feel rather painful. So maybe that might be one reason why.
Yeah, we don't care about sales taxes because we just pay them every day that we buy a soda or whatever we're buying.
Yeah, so sales taxes are microtransactions, and we hardly ever notice them. But property tax comes around once a year, and it's a large lump sum. Utah has done a lot to make sure that property taxes don't grow too quickly. Property taxes are different from income taxes or sales taxes. Those taxes are based on a percent of a dollar amount. Property taxes are essentially locked in at whatever revenue they generate. That means if your house appreciates over time, if your house becomes more expensive, your property taxes don't change. They are automatically lowered in order to generate the same amount of revenue. It's only cities and other local governments who levy property taxes have to go through a specific process in order to get that amount raised up. So Utah has some really stable property taxes, which we've highlighted in some of our past research.
I wish I owned a property so I could complain about property taxes.
Right. You pay them. You just pay them through your rent, Ashley.
I pay them to somebody else.
That brings us to finding number 3, Ashley.
And finding number 3 is that compared to older generations, millennials saw the largest decrease in housing affordability during peak household formation years. This one's especially applicable to me as a younger millennial who would love to get into a house. Like I said, I would love to complain about property taxes with everybody else, but I guess for now I'll just have to complain about sales taxes.
Right. Yeah, and this was another finding from one of our housing reports of the year. And it does seem, I think about this in terms of people like Ashley, in terms of lower income Utahns, in terms of first time home buyers, but also, you know, personally, I have a kid that's in college, and is she ever going to be able to afford a house here without significant assistance from me? Or do I have to die so she can move into my house when I vacate that? I mean, it does seem, it's pretty disconcerting, and it seems like an issue that Utah's been working on and policymakers have been focusing on, but not much so far seems to have really changed in terms of affordability.
And this is interesting because there's also some nuance to this finding. We talk about how compared to older generations, millennials saw the largest decrease. But interestingly enough, for boomers and Gen Xers, 10 to 12 years into their adulthood, they also saw a similar level of affordability. It's just that previously, you know, 8 years, it was super affordable for millennials. But then it just really dropped from that year 8 to year 10. And it's hard to imagine that it's going to just turn around, whereas for boomers and Gen Xers, it's really in that 10 to 12 year mark that affordability really stepped up. So that was an interesting nuance to this data as well.
Finding two. So another finding from our tax burden report that you wrote, Christopher, this is that Utah's personal income rose the fastest of any state from 2016 to 2021. So our personal income really took off. At the same time, Utah's tax burden rose from 2016 to 2021. What that means is that tax collections increased even faster than the residents' record personal income growth, which just means that somewhere taxes are increasing. And where is that tax? Where are those taxes that we're paying? Where is it increasing? We just talked about how property tax are the lowest that they've been in 100 years. And when you look at sales tax, a smaller proportion of what we're spending is taxed because we're buying more services instead of more things.
That was true from maybe like 2010 to 2019.
This is not as true anymore.
But COVID really turned that around. With the onset of COVID, people stopped going on trips. They stopped, you know, buying as many services, and they really doubled down on goods.
Yeah. So what kind of services did we get services in 2020 and 2021? Starting in March 2020, I guess we all started buying stuff on Amazon or getting new windows or buying new cars or whatever, right?
But, you know, after COVID, I mean, we can probably expect a kind of a reversion to that 2018 situation.
Yeah, so I mean, ultimately, would you see across perhaps every state in the nation this spike in tax collections because of that switch back to buying stuff that requires sales taxes, or at least states with sales taxes?
At least in states with sales taxes, you might expect that, although there's going to be a lot of differences. To what degree the state taxes services? You're not going to see as big of a change in states that tax a lot of services.
What happened with sales taxes from 2016 to 2021 in terms of online purchases?
Yeah, so online purchases were also another reason why sales tax revenues were decreasing overall. However, a Supreme Court case decision did allow states to charge large online retailers like Amazon for sales taxes. So now Amazon does collect sales taxes and remits that to the states.
Well, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. All right. Well, our top finding number one, is also from the Utah Priorities Project. And I know we've talked a lot about that project, but it's because we think it's pretty cool. We think it's really important for policymakers specifically to know what Utahns are thinking. So our top finding for the year is that the cost of living and political dysfunction topped the most important issues in 2024. So in the top five issues, we have cost of living, which is housing affordability and earning enough to pay for non-housing needs. Kind of covers everything. And then political dysfunction, which is politicians listening to voters, government overreach, and partisan politics.
And so these most important issues, Ashley, like, who decides these?
So they are decided by the Utah voters that we surveyed during the Utah Priorities Project.
Yeah, and really, I mean, it does seem like you could almost make an argument for all of the other nine findings. They almost kind of fit into this cost of living, political dysfunction realm for the most part. Is that true?
Yeah. You could make that argument, although we do have a specific line item for taxes that was somewhat lower on the scale. But, taxes do, they are part of housing affordability and earning enough to pay for non-housing needs.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fun article that came out right as we published this Utah Priorities Project list, and one of the journalists had people on the street rank these top items, and some people really got it spot on, so it was kind of fun to see what the regular person on the street thought of the top items.
And so one of the things we really walked away with when we looked at these top five items, and when we looked at how unhappy people were, you know, with that, if we go back to finding number 10, that 60% of people are unhappy with their situation compared to 5 years ago and are kind of pessimistic about the future, we kind of tried to sum it up with the title of this, which is just that Utah voters are priced out and fed up. which we tried to capture, you know, the cost of living and the displeasure with the political dysfunction and how people are just not happy right now.
So we hope that you guys are doing okay, listeners.
Hopefully 2025 is a better year for everybody.
Here's to a better year.
Here's to a better year.
You've been listening to Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. For more information about the top findings of 2024, the Utah Priorities Project, and what issues matter most to Utah voters, please visit utahfoundation.org.
And check us out on social media. Be our friend. Let us know what else you want us to research.